Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey everybody, it's Carrie Oberbrunner with Mark Batterson. How you doing today, Mark?
Doing great, Carrie. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Listen, man, I got to set you up the right way. You may or may not remember this. And listen, you meet a lot of people, so I'm just admit that you don't remember me. It's okay. but back in Catalyst Conference, when I was trying to be, you know, a superstar pastor and trying to learn it all and man, you were like up here, you were speaking, you know, you were crushing it. And I was just this little bald dude. And I said, I'm going to go give Mark a gift card. You know, like I literally went to Catalyst saying, I'm going to give Mark a gift card and the encouragement because he's a cool dude. And I'll tell you what, man, you were just so kind to me. I found you like in a popcorn line. And rather than be like, who the heck are you? You were kind to me. And then afterwards, when I had a book come out with Zondervan called The Fine Line, you even let me be on your blog. So first of all, just human to human, thank you for being humble and approachable because not everyone's like that.
Well, Carrie, that's so kind. And we all of us put our pants on one leg at a time, you know, and I always say to, you know, anybody that has a dream of writing a book, which by the way, the latest I heard was like, that's 80% of people.
Yes.
And so everybody was a first-time author who had no idea what they were doing or how to get started or how do you publish a book. And so
yes,
all of us were in kindergarten. All of us wore diapers.
That's
so
right.
You know, right. We need to look out for each other.
Well, that's great, man. And I lost touch with you just because I kind of stopped being a pastor. And I'll tell you what, I love the entrepreneurial world. I'm telling you what, Mark, I get it. Cause I think I'm an entrepreneur who's a pastor. You're a pastor who's an entrepreneur.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're here today and a lot of my crowds in the business world.
Yeah.
And these are coaches, speakers, authors. We have Texas in the house. We have Lynn jumping in. We have Carolyn from Chicago. Lots of people jumping on. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do, folks. Not only are you going to get the most amazing teaching today, it's called Win the Day. And literally, I opened that thing up and I'll be honest, I thought I was going to skim it. I thought, you know what? I'm interviewing Mark. Life's been busy. I'm going to skim this thing. I was going to go to bed early. Man, I could not go to bed because this book was so on fire. And here's what I think. You know, I'm not a prophet, but here's what I think is going to happen, Mark. I really think that this book is for the business world.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if you plan on that, but you're using Elon Musk and Angela Duckworth, and you're using all these examples of business. Erickson and Deliberate Practice. I mean, you've done your research. Hey, have you done your research?
Carrie.
Yeah.
That I will plead guilty to that.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I read 3,000 books before I wrote one. You know that. And so every book, I end up with a stack of books. And this one, you know, I think it's about 400 footnotes, if I remember right.
It's pretty long.
So every ology is a branch of theology kind of in the world that I live
good.
In. So, yeah, a lot of research, and I think this is going to ring that entrepreneurial bell.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, it might be interesting. At some point, let me tell you about where I'm sitting.
Tell us right now. Tell us.
Okay. In 1891, this was the Navy Yard car barn. It was,
I don't even know what that means. You got to tell me.
So the streetcar system in Washington, D.C. for 100 years got everybody where they needed to go.
Okay.
This this was the last stop on that streetcar system. We bought a 129-year-old building. We bought it for $29 million. We put $20 million into it. And yes, we gather here. It's one of our seven campuses. But we're 4 months away from opening a child development center that is one of the biggest in the city. The mayor has said, we need help us. And so we're going to meet a real need in real time with 200, we'll have capacity for 212 kids.
Oh my gosh.
And so what we do, Carrie, is we meet a real need in real time. We revenue stream a part of the building that most churches would just use it on the weekend. And then our phase three, Carrie, it's a city block. I don't know if I said that. It's a city block.
And tell people where you are.
It is 1 mile from the United States Capitol. We're on Capitol Hill. We're across the street from the Navy Yard, and we're four blocks from the riverfront, which is the fastest growing neighborhood in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And so what we'll do with phase three is we'll activate it with a mixed use marketplace, retail, restaurant. And then we'll do a co-working space. Now, the interesting thing is with COVID, all of that is being reinvented.
Yes.
So here we are strategically positioned with an unbelievable building. So why would we do that? Well, for the same reason that we turned a crack house into a coffee house 14 years ago, because the church belongs in the middle of the marketplace. And so I believe as much in business as mission as anything else. So it's really, I love who I'm talking to today.
Man, I'll tell you what, this is, I grew up thinking, you know, quite frankly, I was scared of the world. I grew up as a Christian kid, Christian school, mission training, Christian college, Christian seminary, pastor. I mean, I'll tell you what, Mark, I was like scared of the world. And I wrote the fine line because I was nervous because I thought I had to justify like being in the world, but not of it, you know, because of all the Pharisees around me, like I had to justify it. And inside, you know, the Pharisee inside. You are someone who's in the world, but not of it. I mean, you are literally a mile from Capitol Hill, and yet you're having the mayor talk to you. And you just got to like blow people's minds here for a little bit, because not everyone knows your story. The crack house story. We are going to get into the book, but give people like the 50,000 foot view quickly.
Yeah, we started with 19 people 24 years ago. Wow. And our vision wasn't to build a church. It was to bless a city.
And that's key. That's quotable. Tanisha, get that.
That is
not to build a church. It was to bless a city. Wow.
You know, and We need a better theology of the city, and it comes from Jeremiah 29. It says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city, and if it prospers, you will prosper. And so, listen, I'll give you one example. We have not gathered on the weekend as a church since March 7th.
Wow.
But guess what? Hasn't stopped us. We've got a dream center that has served more than 50,000 meals during this COVID crisis, 150,000 tons of produce that we've given away. We are impacting our city at an unprecedented level. Oh, and then we have this online campus, and something that you'll appreciate, Carrie. Instead of the upper room, we have our upper Zoom. And
I like that.
So we have hundreds of people gathering on the weekday mornings at 7:14 a.m. And so, listen, I like everybody else, there's never been a tougher season of leadership in my life. No, yeah. No doubt. And by the way, it really, COVID would be third. Okay. You know, I'm a guy in Washington, D.C. Political polarization is number one, because we've always been a church that has kind of reached across the aisle. And then the second one really is the racial tension we're feeling. We're a multicultural church, and so we feel like we need to lead the way. And so, listen, I'm tough season, but Some amazing things happened. So long story short, one church now with seven campuses, but we've got a coffee house. We've got a movie theater that we own and operate on Capitol Hill. We've got this DC Dream Center that is impacting the city. And then we have this city block with a vision to be a church in the middle of the marketplace. And so that's kind of where we are, finding our way forwards. And I will share just this one thing that there are ways of doing church no one's thought of yet. And so that's kind of what gets me up early in the morning, keeps me up late at night. How can we bring the good news of the gospel in a way that is relevant to the culture that we live in? And that's kind of what we're about and what God has been doing over the last 24 years.
That's amazing.
Carrie, part of why I'm so passionate about winning each and every day, which is really, it's living each day like it's the first day and last day of your life. Part of it is I should have died on July 23rd, 2000. I was preaching on a Sunday morning with tremendous abdominal pain.
Okay.
I ended up doubling over, walking out of church. Well, an MRI in the emergency room about 12 hours later revealed that my intestines had ruptured. So I had been experiencing sepsis. My body was being poisoned to death. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, I go in for emergency surgery. I'm on a respirator for 2 days. I lose 25 pounds in a week, go through multiple surgeries. I shouldn't be here. But I really believe God spared my life. And Carrie, it was the worst day of my life, best day of my life. You don't live the same way after that. And so part of what I wanted to do with the death clock is almost just to get us thinking about the sacred gift that every single day is.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, just a reminder, because I know we're talking to people who have problems they need to solve, goals they're going after.
Oh, yeah.
So just a reminder, everything happens one day at a time. I don't care if you're training for a marathon, trying to get out of debt.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Everything happens one day at a time. And I think so many people get stuck because they get overwhelmed by how hard it's going to be and how long it's going to take. No, no, no. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said that. And
That was amazing. You blew my mind. And here's what I love about your book. You drop the Angela Duckworth and Elon Musk, but then you drop the Benjamites and you drop like crazy deep scripture. Let's talk about that daily thing, because you had a friend named, was it Matthew?
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, we won't have time for the whole story, but what did Matthew say about the one day?
Yeah. Matthew Barnett. He leads the L.A. Dream Center, and we were rafting the Colorado River together, and he asked this question: can you do it for a day? Mm-hmm. And Carrie, that blew my mind, because I've leveraged that question with so many people in so many different ways. I've never had anybody say no. Anybody can do anything for a day. Right. Now, if I said for a week, maybe, you know, for a month, odds are going down. For a year, that's overwhelming. We kind of shut down.
Yes.
But can you do it for a day? I don't care what habit you're trying to build or break. You know you can do it for a day, and I do too. And so that question frames the book up front.
But then you showed with scripture, give us our daily bread, not our weekly bread. Do not let the sun go down. Like, you just blew my mind and showed how God thinks in days.
Yeah.
Meaning the present. Explain that whole concept, because I think so many of us watch life go by because we're future, or past, when Jesus says the 24 hour.
Yep. And you know, his mercies are new every morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. You know, so, but I actually go all the way back, reverse engineer it to the book of Genesis. And part of what I loved writing about in the book is this Jewish genius of the fact that the day doesn't start with sunrise. It actually begins at sundown. And so, It's about preparing ourselves the night before, because that is when the day starts in the Jewish mindset. And that's the way it reads in Genesis 1. There was evening and there was morning
Wow. The
first day. And so the crazy thing is, we spend so little time thinking about our daily routines or our daily rituals. And we've got to do a better job at those evening routines, at those morning routines, to really set us up. I'm not sure whether I should go there, but is it all right if I share one?
Absolutely.
So the average person spends 142 minutes on social media.
Hey, I hear you.
That, and we've got some people on the call who are above average. And some people who are below average. And listen, social media has tremendous potential for good. If you've watched The Social Dilemma yet, you know it also has some potential for some negative outcomes.
Yes. But
here's my point. That represents 15% of our waking hours. I bet there are, most of us on this call have not spent 142 minutes. In other words, we haven't spent the average amount of time we spend every day on social media actually creating a philosophy or a strategy for how we control social media instead of it controlling us.
Dude, you're speaking my language.
And so let me flip that and say, yeah. No matter how many days we have left to live, most of us, we don't really plan our days. They just sort of happen. And I get it. Like if you have young children or you're starting a business, like life is crazy. We just got a new puppy. So we're one of those COVID puppy.
Oh, yeah.
And she is dominating our lives right now. I know that there are seasons like that. But part of what I want to accomplish with the book is really help people. How can you make the most of every day? And then if you do that for enough days in a row, almost anybody can do almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough. And so I hope that that's an encouragement.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. And I want all the authors. There's a side benefit of reading Mark's book, and I'm going to explain what that is. It's amazing. Like, and here's why. He starts every chapter with a story. Now, you just got me remembering David Blaine. David Blaine and that chapter that you talk about where we want to say, oh, it's magic. In other words, how do people crush it? It's magic. No. David Blaine spent massive, deliberate practice, just like you said. He strung together day after day, just like Michael Phelps that you talk about. And through those multiple days, he created a life worth living. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, he set the world record for holding his breath the longest. And
17 minutes or something you said.
Yeah. I think it's 17 minutes, maybe 4 seconds, something like that. And what I love, if you've never watched the TED Talk, it's worth watching.
I have not.
Because Cary, it's like he has this moment where he breaks down emotionally and like starts crying. And then has to recompose himself because he talks about how it's training, it's discipline, it's effort, it's not magic. And so the guy that is known for magic is saying it's not magic. Wow. It's about
which gives us all hope, because if it would have been magic, we could say, oh, he's lucky.
Yep. Yep. And that's it. And it's partially why I share some of my writing story in the book that when I was in grad school, I took one of those graduate assessments that showed a low aptitude for writing. In other words, it's not a natural gifting for me. Now, I've written 20 books now. This is book number 20. You know, as I mentioned, I had to read 3,000 books before I wrote one, but I did more than read them. I reverse engineered them.
Yeah.
So here's the fun thing, Cary. Some folks are going to read your book that's going to come out and my book, and they're going to reverse engineer it, and it's going to help them accomplish that goal of writing a book. And that's pretty exciting to me because all of us have to hack each other, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I love it. But even the fact, I mean, here's why, again, I get it, man. I just wrote a book, and so I'm on new interviews too. And you're vulnerable, you know, as an author, because you're like, oh crap, what are they going to say? This is the first, you know, you haven't had. But all I'm telling you, I'm not blowing smoke. Like, I love the book for so many reasons. Queen Victoria. Remember that part?
Yeah.
Where you're talking about her husband dying, then she dies. Like, not literally, but even talk about that, because the book is like mind blowing from business, scripture, how to be a good writer. But then you bring in these stories that we probably all should have learned, but we never learned. And one of them is Queen Victoria, whose deepest love dies. And what does she end up doing every day?
Yeah, she wore black the rest of her life. And she had, you know, she was a queen, so she had those palace servants basically kind of set up her husband's shaving kit and make the bed and slept with a picture of him. And, you know, on one level, Carrie, when I share that story, I'm very careful because I've grieved loved ones and you never get over it.
Yeah.
But you do have to get on with your life.
Yeah.
The way that you honor their legacy is by living your life to the fullest. And so the funny thing is I love science and history. In fact, when I was in high school, I thought I would teach history.
Wow.
And so I love weaving neuroscience and history into what I write because I try to say old things in new ways. I want to turn the kaleidoscope. And so what I was trying to do with that piece of the book, and you know, it's divided into three parts. So it's about burying dead yesterdays, and that's kind of the section that we're talking about. I'll reveal my musical preferences. In fact, maybe a bonus point for anyone who can name the band, but we get stuck in a moment and we can't get out of it.
You too, baby. Oh,
There you go. That one wasn't too hard.
Well, I love you.
You might be revealing our age too, Carrie.
It's all good, man. Bono has more hair than me. It's all
I love it. So, you know, that first section is about how do we flip the script and kiss the wave, those first two habits, and really bury dead yesterdays, learn the lessons, cultivate the character, but then flip the script, kiss the wave, and make sure that we are living in this moment called the present.
I'm going to ask you a big question.
Yeah.
I wrote notes and just so people like see this is legit here. I mean, I wrote some serious notes and we could talk about this a very long time. Tell us where the journey is going.
Yeah. Well, I start out telling a story about Sir William Osler, the father of modern medicine, and this idea of living in day-tight compartments. And I won't play that out at all. But, you know, he said you have to bury dead yesterdays and you have to imagine unborn tomorrows, no doubt. But those two things are about really learning to win the day each and every day. And so seven habits, flip the script and kiss the wave are those first two habits that help us bury dead yesterdays. And then have a little bit of fun with eat the frog and fly the kite. Some fun stories related to those.
That was mind-blowing. The Niagara Falls. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that great?
That's where my parents went for their honeymoon. And so, I mean, I was feeling it the way everything. Yeah.
Isn't that so great? Both of our parents went there to honeymoon. Yeah. And then we get to imagine unborn tomorrows, and you have to cut the rope and wind the clock. And by the way, I want to die young at a ripe old age, kind of going back to that death clock.
Yeah.
Wind the clock. Oh my goodness. When you
I didn't get there yet.
Get there. Some of those studies that reveal, do you know how a doctor assesses your age?
Yeah.
by asking you how old you are. Because listen, they have no other way of discerning it. Carrie, you and I both know people that, you know, we graduated from high school together. Yep. And some people, wow, they age pretty quickly.
Yes.
And other people, how do they stay so young?
Interesting.
So vibrant. And I have a little bit of fun in those chapters about how you can wind the clock.
That's so good.
And, you know, I waited until I was 47 to run a marathon. And
how old are you?
I am 50 years old.
Wow. And, well, I don't think you look like it. But you have a miracle story in there about asthma.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was amazing. I got held back from the Air Force chaplain because of asthma. And now I don't have it anymore. So, I mean, I'm reading your book and I'm like, dang, but you had it so bad. You had to sleep with a rescue inhaler.
Yeah. There weren't 40 days and 40 years that I didn't take it. Slept with it under my pillow, played basketball with it in my sock. I believe I'm now 1,357 days inhaler free. I try to keep track of it. Because every day to me is an absolute miracle. So to celebrate that, I actually ran the Chicago Marathon. And part of what I unpack is, you know, I didn't just go out and run a marathon. I downloaded a training plan.
And God birthed within you a film script.
Yes.
A screenplay.
Yes. One of my... you know, Jim Collins would call it a big, hairy, audacious goal. I would call it a big, hairy, audacious prayer.
Yes.
I have a script that I'm shopping right now. The day will come. It'll hit the big screen or at least land on Netflix. You know, if it's the last thing I do, Carrie, you know, I'm going to be part of making a movie about and let's tease people. I'll ask one question. Do you know the name Emil Zatopek?
I did not know before I read the book.
No one knows him. Yeah. No one knows his name. And yet Runner's World calls him the greatest runner of all time at any distance. And no one knows his name. He triple golds in the 52 Helsinki Olympics. And so right now I'm talking to the athletes or the weekend runners. And you're going to love this part of the book because it's going to inspire you to go after some of those goals. And I'll say one other thing, Carrie.
Sure.
Yes, this is a book for people in business, I think for athletes, and certainly for leaders in any sure. context, including the church world. But I can't keep faith out of anything I do, and I won't do it. That to me is doing a disservice to anybody who's reading it. So I think anybody with any worldview can read this book.
Absolutely.
And get something out of it. But I would say this, my goal is to activate faith. And to me, you know, faith is taking the first step before God reveals the second step.
Yes.
And I think faith, you've got to have some God-sized goals, goals that are beyond your ability to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so one of my goals in writing the book was to let's take it one day at a time, but let's believe that God's going to do some things that you can't take credit for because he had to come through in a big way for it to happen.
That's what Henry Blackaby said as a young kid, and it changed my life. What are you doing right now that unless God shows up, you will fail? Mm. Tell us. I don't want any false humility. Give me the big dream. What are you praying that God does with this book?
Oh man.
I want to hear it all. Like don't give me any line about, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, seriously, like in your prayer time, what do you think God's going to do with this book?
Yeah. Well, for me to fairly answer that question, Carrie, I might need an extra allotment of 2 minutes. Is that okay?
Oh yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
You know, I was cognizant when I wrote my first book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. I knew that 97% of books didn't sell more than 5,000 copies. And I kind of made a bold ask and I was like, Lord, could it sell 25,000 copies? You know, it was so hard to write it. Could we kind of at least get more than 5,000? you know, and that book pleasantly surprised, you know, I think at least 500,000 people have chased their line. And now, you know, more than 1 million, if you add in Chase the Line, which is the sequel. You know, Kerry, you never know what a book is going to do.
You talk about that with Mozart and Beethoven, how they didn't predict it right. Yeah.
Right. It's false positives, false negatives. Yeah. So, you know, I will say this. For me, a book sold is not a book sold. It's a prayer answered. For every book I write, I pray, Lord, put it in the right hands at the right time. And so, you know, I had one book, The Circle Maker, that just, there was just a multiplication anointing on that book that is hard to describe. And it is one of those books that has impacted millions of people. And then Draw the Circle is another book. So many people have taken that 40-day prayer challenge. Now, I will say this. I've had books that have maybe underperformed or disappointed a little bit. Like, I thought the book was going to do a little bit better than that. Mm-hmm. Here is kind of my hope and prayer for this book. You are not going to get where you need to go all by yourself. Mm. You and I both know that. You need people that are going to encourage you, keep you accountable, going to push you. And so what I see this book doing is book clubs, small groups, teams, staffs, churches. How do we go through these seven habits together and really see whatever that group or team is kind of go to the next level? And so I think my big hope and prayer for the book is that it's not one of those books that's a one-off for one person. It is going to be at least twice the advantage if you read it with someone else. And it could be a family member. It could be a spouse. It could be in that staff or team context. But listen, you start going through a book like this together.
Oh, yeah.
It has the potential to shape culture. And so that kind of is my hope and prayer for this particular book.
I love it. The website is fantastic. We're going to tell people to go there as well. It's literally your name, markbatterson.com, and then it's /win the day. And if you're like, oh, man, I want a sneak peek of those seven habits, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, he is very generous. Go there because you can see the pre-order. You can get a little sample. But then you also literally see the seven habits. And you can start applying some of these right now, even if you have to wait until December. But I'll tell you what, the book is fantastic. Here it is, folks. Pre-order it today. And Mark, I'm excited we get to chat 10 minutes offline too, because I think God's doing big stuff, my friend.
Hey, I love it, and excited for everybody to jump in the book. And I do, you know, even though this is my 20th book, Kerry, you know this feeling. You feel a little fragile.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know exactly how God's going to use it and how it's going to impact people. But the last habit, by the way, the one we didn't mention, is seed the clouds, which may be my favorite habit of all. And so I'll just seed the clouds a little bit. That if you have a team or a staff that want to go through this, I am looking at putting together a virtual tour. This COVID crisis has taught us that Zoom, while we all have a little Zoom fatigue, it does bring the world together.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you have a team or a staff, I think before the end of the year, I'm kind of prototyping. This is the first time I've wore it.
I
got my gear going. If you have a team or a staff, you know, you want to bring 10, 20, 30 people through the book. I'm going to try to find a way to swag people. And so stay tuned. We'll put some of that on the website as we get closer to the release day. But Kerry, so fun. I feel like I took this hand of cards, and this is the first time I've shown those face cards, because I literally haven't even talked about the book publicly with anybody besides you. I haven't even... I haven't even done the reveal. I just got the galley myself.
That is awesome.
Next week, we'll kind of on my channels, we'll let people know that it exists. But everybody now is an insider.
Oh, look at this. So, see, I mean, people are digging this. So if that's any, I get it. If that's any litmus test, know that you resonated. And I think it's fantastic. All right. Well, you have a great day. And I'm going to chat with Mark. But markbatterson.com/win the day. Thanks for being here, Mark.
Hey, blessings, everybody.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.